Be looking to the book of Ecclesiastes together. In fact, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 tonight is where we want to turn. What a joy and a privilege it is to be with you tonight, to sing praises to Him who is truly worthy and to study His Word. I'll save a couple of words of thanks that I want to share with you at the end of the service so we can jump right into our study, but suffice it to say, I'm just so grateful and appreciative for the elders here and for the invitation to come and be with you this week. You've been a great encouragement to me. So many of you have been here every service, and I hope the things that we've studied have lifted you up and blessed you as well. It has been said, I may not know what the future holds, but I do know who holds my future. And tonight I want to encourage you in an attitude of trust and understanding that the best days are ahead. I chose this picture for the slides. I really, really like the picture because I see a fella who has gone to a lookout point and he's facing out and he's surveying a lot of country. And I begin to wonder, which way is he looking? Is he looking back at all the country that he's traversed? Is he looking back at all the hills that he's already climbed and the places that he's been? Or is he looking out and he's looking forward and he's looking ahead to where he is going? Which way is he looking? Can I ask you something tonight? Which way are you looking in your life? Are you looking forward or are you looking at what's behind? And I want to encourage you to be looking forward because I absolutely believe the best days are ahead. You see, when we're confronted by sadness or hardship, trial or temptation, when we are facing difficulties and discouragement with all of our present circumstances, there's a choice. We have a choice in which way we want to turn and look and where we want to focus our mind. And one way is we can look back. We can be in difficult moments and look back longingly. Look back longingly for the good old days and tell ourselves, oh, it was easier back then. And it was better days behind us. You know, it just seems like maybe we've peaked. And that's just as good as it's going to get. But there's another direction we can look. We can understand and we can trust that the best days are ahead. And I believe when we read Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10, we are taught that's the way we ought to look. Here's what the scripture says in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 10. Do not say, why were the former days better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. It shows me that God's people are often tempted to look back longingly for the past instead of faithfully serving God for the better future. But I'm telling you that we have a choice. We have a choice in our attitude. We have a choice in our outlook. There's a choice. But it's not an equal choice. I'm not going to tell you that the choice doesn't matter. Solomon tells us that one way is wise and another is foolish. Can I encourage you tonight, God's people, can I encourage us from God's wisdom to make the choice to trust in the Lord? To trust in the Lord that the best days are ahead. And I believe that the wisdom of Solomon guides us in this way. As we go to the notes, I want us to appreciate, as we look at Ecclesiastes together, that foolishness longs for the old days. Number one in your notes, it is foolish to be longing for the old days. It's foolish, but it's common. We can get in some real mental and emotional, even spiritual ruts where we find ourselves pining for the past and pining for the good old days. But what does the scripture tell us in Ecclesiastes 7 verse 10? It says, that is not wise. Doing this does not come from wisdom. Now, when you're reading through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, the wisdom literature, what you need to appreciate is there's this ongoing contrast between wisdom and foolishness. And so when Solomon is telling you, this is not wise, this does not come from wisdom, well, then what's that mean? It's foolish. This is foolishness. It's foolishness to long for the old days. How foolish it is. And yet we meet people who are captive to their past, always looking back on those good old days, Maybe you know some people like that. You've met some people like that. They're so eager to relive with you the glory days. The glory days, you know, in their high school experience. And I hope they did have a good high school experience. I hope that you had a great high school experience. And maybe you did. You know what? If you were the star football player on your team the year that you won state, that is a great, great story. If you were first chair trumpet when your band went to nationals, that is a great story. And we like to get together and we like to tell those stories and we like to remember those things. But maybe it's been 15 years. Maybe it's been 20 years. Maybe it's been 30 years. Anything going on in your life now? What are you excited about that you're involved with today? What's exciting you and gets you fired up about tomorrow? Well, there's people longing for the good old days. Sometimes people do this in their relationships. They get to thinking about that old flame. Start thinking about the one that got away. And I'll tell you, there's a real danger about that in our society now with, you know, technology and social media. It's just so easy to start tracking down that old flame, begin reconnecting with that old flame. And I know some people that maybe you have too, they have blown up their families. They have blown up their lives. Why? Because they're actually longing for some good old day. And they're thinking, maybe if I get back with this old ex or that old ex, then everything will be good again. But it's foolishness to long for the old days. Sometimes there's people, there's Christians who can do this with their old life of sin, that old man of sin. You know, a fella comes along, I was baptized a couple of years ago, and there was a real radical change in my life. When I came to the Lord, I had to change the scene I was in. I couldn't be in that party lifestyle anymore. I couldn't be in that promiscuous lifestyle anymore. I wasn't around that drug scene anymore. But a couple of years later, why I don't seem to have as many friends as I thought I would. I get a little lony. Some of those folks that I haven't been around a while, actually they're coming back around. And they're inviting me to go out. And I just start thinking, boy, we did have some fun in those old days. Boy, we did have some wild times back in the old days. They start looking back and longing. It's sinful things. I have to tell you, I made a mistake a few years ago. There was a brother in Christ who grew up with a good Christian home, and he knew the truth, and he knew the Lord's way, but you know, he left it. He went out in the world in prodigal lifestyle, and he did a number of things. But as I was preaching his church in Tennessee, he started coming back, and we were having Bible studies, and he was restored, and that was encouraging. Had a couple of young kids, and they were coming to Bible class, and that was all good. And he had such a story, and now he was a Christian, right? Now he was back in the Lord. That some of us got to talk, and you know, he could share a story with the teenagers and really bring some wisdom to them, right? Let's have him come and talk to the teenagers. And we sit there in the teenage class, and he starts telling his story. And here's where I messed up. Here's where I became very concerned. His eyes lit up at all the wrong parts of that story that he told. His eyes didn't light up. His excitement and passion didn't come out by saying, we serve the God of a second chance. I'm so excited about the grace of God. It's so wonderful to be in the Lord today. That's not where his eyes were lighting up. He was regaling the young people with these tales of sin and wretchedness. And that's what he seemed to be excited about. And you could see it in his face and hear it in his voice. He was looking back at those old days. And I hate to tell you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, though he tried to work with that brother, he did go back to the world. I lost touch with him, but I found out a few weeks ago he was killed in an automobile accident. I don't know where his soul was with the Lord. I don't know where he was with the brother. I don't know about any of that. But I'll tell you that he was looking back in all the wrong places, and it was stealing his heart back to the world. Jesus warned disciples about longing for the old days and leaving discipleship. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Don't be longing for the old days of sin or the old ways. It's foolish, and yet it's common. Sometimes even brethren do that in a church, you know. Older folks of congregation, they'll be coming around talking. Sometimes there'll be a week when you got a guest preacher in and they start talking about, well, the way this church used to be. They start looking around up and down the pews. Oh, I remember when the pews were full. Oh, I remember when we used to have to get the chairs out. And the more they talk about that and tell those stories, the more I begin to wonder, have they decided that the best days were all behind us? Have they decided that the best days in the Lord's church, that the best days are not ahead? We can't be looking back like that. Can't be looking back to the old days. I tell you, it's foolishness. It's foolishness because it's impossible. It is impossible for us to go back. The Bible is very clear about this. Time is moving in one direction. From the beginning, where God Almighty spoke this world and universe into existence in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested, until the Lord returns for a miraculous uncreation of all that he has made. From the beginning to the day of eternity, that's where time's going. We don't go back. And we might miss out on some current opportunities if we're always looking back and we're always longing for the past. We could miss out on some really great things and appreciating great things all around us right now. And how foolish would that be? It is so foolish because it's deceptive. We spent a little time this week talking about this passage, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The scripture says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, we can deceive ourselves in a lot of ways, and our memory can be deceptive. Our memory has a way of forgetting bad things in the past. We look at our past often through rose-tinted glasses. And I say it's self-deceptive. I say it's dishonest because nothing now today can live up to the selective grandeurs of our memory. In other words, when the past was the present, it was full of stress. And it had trials. And there were challenges. But we forget those things and we deceive ourselves that the good old days were so much better, so different from today. Solomon says, don't even ask like that. And if longing for the past doesn't come from wisdom, well then, where is wisdom at? Where is wisdom to be found? Number two in your notes, wisdom redeems the present day. That's what wisdom does. It redeems the present day. Throughout the wisdom literature and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, so forth, wisdom is intrinsically linked to God. Wisdom is linked to God. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Fear God, obey his commands, praise him. Again, Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear God. Know him. There wisdom is to be found. Even in the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14, it ends speaking to wisdom. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. In the end, it must be wisdom from God because we stand before God's judgment. Fear God, keep his commandments. That's what it's all about. It is wise to know him. It is wise to fear him. It is wise to obey him today. What is it that we need to know about God? I come to the scripture and I find that God has given us a mind and God has given us memory to empower the present, not to trap us in the past. That's why he's given us a mind and memory to empower us in this present, to be wise about today, that we might learn from our past, not covet it. Learn from it, but don't covet it. Learn from other people's mistakes. Learn from our own previous mistakes so that we don't repeat them. That's why he's given us a mind and he's given us a memory that we might be able to educate ourselves, that we might be able to educate our children and the youth and those coming along behind us. He's given us a mind and a memory that we might inspire and encourage people now from the very best of the examples of those who've come before us. So powerful. His word, the scripture, it is written. The scriptures, all of his mighty works of the past, all of his mighty deeds, all of his will, so that we might know him by his word, so that we might serve him according to his word. What we don't have to do is long to be living in first century Palestine. Oh, if I only lived way back then when Jesus was walking the earth. Oh, if it was only so. No. Those things were written that we might know, that we might learn. He's given us a mind. He's given us a memory to learn, not so that we have to covet the past. He's given us a mind and he's given us a memory so that we might be thankful for the past, but not discontent now, not to feed our discontent. I think about God's people, the Israelites, as he led them out of their Egyptian bondage. In Numbers chapter 11, in verses 4 through 6, Numbers 11, verses 4 through 6, God was feeding them by a miracle every day, bringing bread to the earth, manna. But come to Numbers 11, verse 4. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There's nothing all except this manna before our eyes." Isn't that amazing? Hey, how'd you get your food today? A miracle. And I get so tired of miracles. In fact, I'm so tired of this miracle every morning. I get to thinking about Egypt. Oh, Egypt was swell. They had cucumbers and fish. There was leeks. I'm so tired of this miracle every day. If only I could go back to Egypt. What had they forgotten? Suddenly, Egyptian bondage was the good old days. The whips, the building projects, the brick making, the infanticide. We forgot all that because, man, we really want some fish and cucumbers. What? But I will tell you that they had a mind and they had a memory, and it was feeding discontent. It was feeding discontent. Their memory was fueling discontent for the past. That is not wise. They grumbled, they murmured, they complained against God, and that's not what their memory and their mind was for. I'll give you a third one. God has given us a mind and a memory to empower us in the present, even to appreciate something like a memorial, and the power of the Lord's Supper as a memorial. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we find in those chapters, 11 through, you know, probably 14, really, there was a lot of things out of order in the church at Corinth, and particularly the Lord's Supper. It apparently turned into a common meal and had been abused in many ways. When Paul sets it in order to teach the Christians again, actually remind them what he'd already taught them, we find this. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you, given for you, this do in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" This amazing memorial. We eat the bread, we drink the cup. To do what? To remember, the scripture says. Remember. Remember his death and make proclamation of his death. But that death happened in the past. He is not dead. He's living. He's living in heaven. He's living forever. I mean, he did die. We proclaim that death. But he was raised up, the glory of the resurrection, and now he lives. He is coming back, and we are proclaiming this. We have a memory for it, to redeem time in the present, but not to be captive by the past. Wisdom redeems the present day. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 in the New Testament, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeem the time. It is wise to make the most of the time we have today. And did you notice why? Because the days are evil. Because these are evil days. So, of course, we face hard times. These are evil days. Whether those hard times are coming to us individually, you may be here tonight, and as a person, you know, you're struggling with some sin in your life. Or there is a chronic sickness or an illness that is pulling you down, or family struggles. Maybe there's terrible things going on in your home and it is difficult. Individually, you know. Or maybe it's congregationally. In a church, there can be strife. A church can split. But it's evil days. Hey, it could be regionally. You might be living in a place when a hurricane comes through. You might be living in a place when an EF5 tornado blows away half the town. And we say, boy, these are some evil days. Or nationally, living through a time of pandemic, living through times of war. All of this to illustrate and say that, yes, the present day is hard. The Bible says there are evil days. Redeem this time. And one way to face it is to mentally retreat to the past, have an attitude of discouragement, long for the old days, but that's not wise. The other way is to get active, to redeem the time, to make the most of the time we do have, be busy today in God's service. You know, we have some things we can be rejoicing about today, even in difficult circumstance and hardship. Can't we rejoice together that the gospel, that truth is freely taught in this place, in this community today? Can't we be joyful about that? Let's be about teaching it to more people. Let's redeem that time. Let's be about inviting more people to come and worship with us. Let's redeem that time. Let's be about teaching others the Word of God and having Bible studies with folks. Let's redeem this time. Let's thank God that we have one another today. Because we need one another today. What a blessing. What a blessing. To be a part of a congregation where you see people, some are young and just beginning their lives, some are older with great experience. And you have that balance, that dynamic of wisdom and energy, creativity and experience all working together. Now, does that happen in a church? I'd say first by God's grace. I'd say second by brotherly affection. I'd say third because it's a mix of an intergenerational church, which is what a congregation ought to be. That's a good thing. It's a precious thing. We have today to exemplify zeal and encouragement to redeem the time. Well, if foolishness is always longing for the past, and wisdom is about redeeming the present day, what about tomorrow? And I'd like to think about that with you for a moment. Number three in your notes, let's talk about faith. Because faith hopes in future days. Faith hopes in future days. I trust that tomorrow can be a better day. I hope you have that trust. I believe that the best days are ahead. I hope you believe it too. And I'll tell you why. It's because our faith and our hope are in God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, who through him believe in God, who raised him, who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. My faith and hope are in God. God who held back nothing from me. God who gave us Jesus. God who raised up Jesus. And he would give the Son, and the Son would lay down his life for you and for me. There is no good thing that he will withhold from us. My faith, my hope are in God. God is the one who holds the future. And he holds that future for all of God's people who press on. I think we get some of the attitude of the Apostle Paul in us about what tomorrow's going to look like, about future days. in places like Philippians 1 and verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That was not like a dark, maybe Paul needs to talk to a counselor kind of statement, actually. Here he was in prison declaring his hope in the future. He said, I know what future days are. I know what tomorrow is. Either tomorrow I will live for Christ, or tomorrow I will live with Christ in heaven. But to live is Christ. He doesn't wish for old days. He doesn't wish for better days. There is faith and hope in future days. And that is the faith and hope that all of God's children can have. When we think about pressing on, we forget what lies behind. And again, it is the Apostle Paul who makes this wonderful example for us. I'll give you a reading in Philippians 3 and verse 13. If you want to look in your own Bible to Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward it. Isn't that powerful? Again, a fellow writing in prison. And when he wrote, he said, what I need to do is forget what lies behind. Maybe it was some really great things, some of his attainments in Judaism and to be a Pharisee of Pharisees, the victories. Maybe it's about the failures when he understood that he had been a blasphemer and chief among sinners. All of that, though, is behind to press forward today and hoping for tomorrow. I'm telling you that faith is about the future day. It's about the future for us individually. It's about the future for this congregation. You know, as we get the Paul outlook, we think about pressing forward. We have to understand that he believed his best days were ahead of him. I believe the best days are ahead for the Lord's church. I believe that the best days are ahead for the church here at Brownsburg. But I tell you that I'm a guest here for a few days. I'm a visitor here for a few days. Think about the question. What are you excited about the church here at Brownsburg? Why are you excited to be a part of the church here at Brownsburg? Why are you confident and encouraged that the best days are ahead for the congregation at Brownsburg? Brother Scott, why are you excited about it?
One reason is we've recently gone through a pandemic.
Gone through a pandemic, you're saying?
And we had great prayer, great planning by our elders.
There's great planning and great prayer by the elders here throughout that process, yeah? Yeah.
Teaching went on.
That's great. See, it gets me excited about being a part of a congregation here. Brother Steve, you're smiling so big. What do you think? Why do you trust the best days are ahead here at Brownsburg?
The study of grace.
For the study of grace.
If it hadn't been for that, I probably would have been thinking the same old thoughts that I'd had for so long that I just wasn't good enough. And now I'm very comfortable with what I'm about.
Praise God.
And that's a wonderful thing.
A better understanding of grace and the gospel of grace being taught in this place.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. I wonder who else wants to share. Tyler, you're kind of in the middle of all this mix. What are you excited about the future of the congregation here?
So, one of the few
Okay.
And so we recently started a Bible study for them, and so to see them kind of grow together.
Oh, that's an exciting new project. Yeah, that's cool. That is great. To see new families coming in, and whenever families are coming in and place some membership, it does. It encourages you about the direction of the church and where things are going. What about Brother Mike? Oh, you brother, you got that beautiful little baby. I couldn't see your face. I only saw a beautiful baby. To see in the church people helping each other regularly. The help and support. Yeah, to see that. To see it in the life and in the culture of a congregation. I'm so glad that you brothers shared some of those things with me and with the congregation here, because it encourages me. I'm encouraged. Now, I know by the scripture that the best days are ahead for God's people, but you've helped me put some handles on it about this place and this church family here in Brownsburg. I'll tell you what. Faith hopes in future days, and the best days are ahead. I want to come back to a passage actually in Colossians, and the lesson's going to be yours. In Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul wrote this: "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." We make a choice about our outlook and our attitude looking forward. Friends, if we're going to spend some time longing and pining, then let's be longing for Christ. We've been raised up with Him, and that's where our mind needs to be. Christ is before us, He is ahead of us, and we are going to Him. Christ is our future, and we are going to Him. And if we're going to be heart sick and homesick, longing for a place to be, then let that place be heaven. Because that is the future for His people and for His church. That's where Christ is. That's the true home and the one that we never lose. Because Jesus could come back tomorrow. I trust that tomorrow is the better day. But if not, I know that God has purpose for me. I know that God has purpose for you to live faithfully another day and to be one day closer to heaven. Faith, hope, that's about future days. I believe with all my heart the best days are ahead. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 10, "Do not say, 'Why were the former days better than these?' For you do not inquire wisely concerning this." No, no. Because of Jesus Christ, the best days are ahead. I appreciate so much your good attention tonight. If you want to put your Bibles away and put your notes away, our good brother's going to come forward and lead us in another song.